normal, snafu'd.
Or what's the newer version of that, FUBAR?
It came out in what, the 70s, 80s? I don't know.
This back to maybe the 40s. Yeah, well, either one. Yeah, either one works. How you been?
And my stuff passed. My two antennas are phased just like they're supposed to be.
So they're phased. You got them in phase, and they're phased, and they're gonna stay in phase, hopefully.
Well, I mean, the feed line is, the feed line was installed like 79. So, as long as weather doesn't change, it's in phase.
Bit of weather, and there you go. It's funny how that, because I've noticed that, you know, summer versus winter propagation, rain versus snow versus, sun propagation. There's so many things that affect radio.
In most cases, it's phased at 73 degrees Fahrenheit, but, you know, as soon as it drops to 40 again, it probably will go out of phase. It's like,
an element gets half a millimeter shorter than the other, and there you go, it's out of phase.
Thanks.
Copper's got a high, expansion index. I'm trying to, there's got to be something that won't shrink or expand as much as copper, but probably not as conductive as copper. Yeah, I think for antennas, we're stuck with copper.
Money can go with gold. I think the phrase we're looking for is thermal coefficient, but don't quote me on that. And I think gold shrinks a lot less, but I really can't see anybody making solid gold or stranded gold connections to the antenna for any reasonable amount of money.
Coefficient of gold is less than copper. See, that's usually related to how well something conducts heat. In which case, your best... Funny enough, good, things that conduct heat well usually conduct electricity, so that would be silver. Silver antenna wire, you wouldn't want to make either.
Well, it's kind of hard to concentrate on that while there's a cop in front of me doing exactly the speed limit.
Better in front of you than behind you.
Positive news, coming back through 14 at the end of the GSP runway, and they're paving it. Goodness.
Some of these sections of road that are wearing out are getting paved slowly. So every once in a while they do some road work.
Five roads today that all need road work, and this has needed road work ever since they built it. It's kind of sad. I don't know what, if they were drunk when they were specking out the material or what, but it's needed paving ever since they widened it.
Your roads get nearly as abused as, up north you've got ice and snow, which causes its own damage. The salt you put on the road for that may cause additional damage. You think it's bad here. The northeast probably has the worst roads.
That's like Nebraska, and they don't even bother to pave them.
Nebraska.
I think it's something like 50% of all of their roads are actually just gravel roads. And it freezes. It freezes hard, and it's snow, it's ice, it's everything. And they just, it's easier just to put some crushed rock out there or redistribute the pre-existing crushed rock, and boom, your road's right back to where it was.
Gravel without concrete or asphalt or anything like that. Just finely crushed gravel. I guess that works for the winter.
And dirt mix, but still. No concrete, no asphalt.
To do that, as you suggested, it would be higher maintenance. because it would it would crack and, you know, come apart and everything else. You know, the gravel is just, you know, when the snow melts, the gravel is gonna. That's, I guess that's why they have to do it. It's the lousiest surface to run your car on, but it's the easiest surface to maintain.
Based on the few roads I went on, I mean, now the interstate is paved. You know, major heavy duty roads are paved. But on all the back roads, you know, once you get off the interstate and out of town, it's the small gravel. It's not big chunks of gravel. It's the smaller gravel. It's actually not that bad as long as you're not doing 80.
Sized gravel. Yeah, you know, of course you can't, you know. You're, you know, don't try to accelerate or don't try to brake or turn too quickly. You'll just, you know, you'll not, it'll come loose. But, oh, so that's most of what they have out there, I guess, because, see now, I'm most recently from the New York City area where, you know, road maintenance is a constant thing. And, you know, the roads are well maintained and well paved and well maintained when we get around to it. But, you know, it takes time. There's more millions of potholes than you have stuff for pothole repair, right?
I say that. I was on US 321, southern part of the state, and literally right before they came in and repaved it, there were. The potholes were not potholes per se. It was the paved part that messed up the road so bad. Because there were more potholes than there was paved.
Well, I've driven into potholes and, you know, I said to myself, did I just hit something? Like a post or a guardrail or something? I hit a pothole like that one time coming out of JFK Airport. I honestly thought that I had crashed into something. Oh boy, I'll bet I tore up the undercarriage pretty bad. But, you know, overall, I don't think it did any real lasting damage. But, you know, it's an impossible situation to maintain, you know, especially as many cars as you have. You can't close down any road for any length of time. You're going to need it for the 10,000 cars coming by the next day.
There have been a couple of times I've driven into potholes and gone, oh, did I just hit somebody in China? Because literally, I mean, you know, it's down to my axles in the potholes.
It's as well maintained as it is, considering the amount of usage the road surfaces get and the fact that, you know, I don't know how many road maintenance crews are out there at any given time. You know, plus the fact that I don't know how long you can close down a major roadway before you start causing major problems. You want to close down the Van Wyck Expressway or the Long Island Expressway for more than an hour to a couple of hours, you're going to cause, you know, the worst possible nightmare.
Downtown GERS, so I may get a little shaky. Well, you know, I mean, oh, hang on. Sleep with the traffic light.
Tap their rear bumper gently to wake them up.
Racing lane, now I gotta wait for a train. So, anyway, yeah. So, well, you know, the roads are a thing, and a lot of it has to do with the weight that's on the road. So you got big 18-wheelers on there, or really heavy small cars even. I mean, that they're actually saying that electric vehicles, because of the batteries, actually weigh more than a dinosaur-powered vehicle.
For CBA. Glenn and the gentleman's in there. I was just going to say, y'all talking about potholes. There is a number you can call and report them. I don't know the number right off of hand, but you can look it up and Google it or something. But there is a pothole number, and you can report it.
towards the non-pothole areas.
You haven't lived in Charleston. You need to go down to Charleston if you want to appreciate potholes. Yeah, we've got it made up here. I used to live down there for 2.5 years, and man, I mean, that place is pothole city.
Comment? Yes, sir. I don't know if y'all are aware, but if you take your car in for damage and your mechanic writes you a statement that the damage was caused by potholes here in South Carolina on the South Carolina roads, you can send that in. I believe either DOT or the Treasurer's Office, and they will eventually send you a check for the damage.
Well, that I didn't know. New York City wouldn't be able to do the same thing. They'd go even more bankrupt than they are now. What you started to say about type and weight of vehicle has a lot to do with it. For example, the Southern State Parkway, the Northern State Parkway, those roads are old, and the surfaces are worn, but they're not really bad. And the reason being is, you know, no trucks allowed. You know, nothing like over 10,000 pounds or something. And so, that's the one factor we were missing is the weight and tonnage of the vehicle.
Hold for just a minute, let me get out of town. Kilometers left. I was leaving plenty of room. KJ4CTD member.
Well, I thought you were clearing out for a second. KB4CBA. Name is David.
Well, I got a high spot at the moment. I'm in Gert.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm headed your way. I live in Taylor, so I'm coming down what will eventually become Edwards Road. I think it's called Haywood Road right here, but heck, yeah, it's called Haywood Road right here. But when I cross east north, I think it becomes Edwards Road.
It doesn't. It becomes Howell Road at that point. And then when you get to where Edwards Road tees into it, then it becomes Wade Hampton. I get a lot of names for one road.
It's like that. And this road, right where I just went through, I'm coming up to the light. There's a pretty long line at the traffic light here at East North. A buddy of mine used to live right back there, and he said, we have to move. And I said, why? And he said, well, they're going to build a road through my house. And I said, what? And so that's what they did. State, I don't know if it's state or county, bought their house and tore it down and built this road, built Haywood Road through it. And, you're right, this is Howell Road, and I should know that because we lived in Wellington Green up here for years. I went to Eastside High School, and so I go by the old turnoff there, go by the old subdivision entrance every time I go to play tennis.
And Botany Woods. So, I remember when they built the Haywood Road part of it, and it's like, oh, okay. I even know the guy that used to own the land that's under Haywood Mall.
Take Sunday rides down Haywood Road and go all the way to Lawrence Road on it, and it was two lane and cow pastures on both sides.
Don't you love those old days when you could get anywhere in Greenville in 15 minutes or less?
There were no cars on the road. I mean, compared to now, my dad, I was driving. I was actually driving the car, not sitting in his lap, but driving the car when I was 11. Of course, I'm tall, and I was tall then. But dad had a '63 Fury with a 383. Boy, that thing would fly. I got a phone call. KP4CBA.
them seeming to use the same road names everywhere, every place in town. You know, the brief period I lived in Atlanta, you know, I'm like, how many Peachtree Streets are there? Well, there's a Peachtree Street, Peachtree Road, Peachtree Avenue, and Peachtree Drive. It would be a nightmare if you were a cab driver and you didn't really know the area really well. Yeah, I'm on the corner of Peachtree and Peachtree, and I got to take a left on the Peachtree. You know, it's like there's a certain pool of names, and, you know, no one seems to have any others.
I've been in Atlanta for a year, and there was actually one area that, you know, they love their one-way streets, too. And there was literally no way to get to a hotel, because the exit was onto the one-way street, and you had to go like practically halfway around the city just to be able to get back on the road that actually gets you into the entrance. And it's like, what's wrong with you people?
Well, 40 years ago, I'm talking about, or yeah, 30 years ago? No, more than 30 years ago. Yeah, maybe almost 40 years ago. I can imagine how much worse it's gotten now. Or actually, Atlanta didn't really... I guess Atlanta just expanded sideways. The entire North Georgia became Atlanta. But I wouldn't want to drive around there then, and I sure as heck wouldn't want to drive there now. I'd sooner drive around New York City. That would be easier for me.
In the 80s for a year. And, you know, you would get the Jimmy Carr Boulevard and think, oh, hey, I'm almost to Atlanta. And now Jimmy Carter Boulevard is, like, in downtown Atlanta practically.
But, you know, I tell you, I'm sure a lot of instant millionaires, though, because, hey, I need your piece of, your piece of farmland, that, you know, for the next mini mall. I could have bought property in the Atlanta area or nearby 30 or 40 years ago, you know, I could have bought a nice house in the area for, I'm going to say, in the $50,000 to $100,000 range. And now that would be, I don't know what, $500,000. So, if you were a property owner in that area 30 years ago, you made out well.
KB4 CBA.
You know, it seems like it was right about the time the stock market really took off. That's when Atlanta started growing like a weed. Go ahead, CBA.
Yeah, we were talking about Haywood Road, and I remember when Fairway Ford went out there, I thought, what in the world is somebody thinking building a dealership way out here in the middle of nowhere? And now look at it. I tell you, somebody really had some foresight, you know, in doing that, and they knew Greenville was going to grow in that direction, and it did, and it's funny because now I remember people moving to Simpsonville to get away from all the traffic and people in Greenville, and now the people that moved down there are having to move again to get away from the traffic and the people. And so it's really kind of, it's funny, but it's not funny.
Or Sawgrass Expressway in South Florida runs from like near Tamiami Trail almost to like into Palm Beach. In the 80s, you know, late 80s and early 90s, that was literally the road through nowhere. I used to work from the Fort Lauderdale area. I used to take that to work in Miami because I could get to downtown Miami in not much more than 20 or 30 minutes by taking this road that, you know, nobody was on. Yeah, one time I got pulled over. Do you know you were going 105 miles an hour? Really? I didn't know this car could go that fast. But, you know, he was nice enough that he let it go. Well, if I see anyone on the road, I'll slow down. But anyway, 30 years later, now it's in the middle of town, or at least not near the edge of town. You know, it's housing developments and mini malls and shopping malls, industrial parks, you know, office buildings, whatever is out there. So again, whoever thought to build this road in the middle of no place, on the edge of the Everglades, they were either very... It was either a good grift for somebody, or they had a lot of foresight, and they figured, yeah, well, eventually the development will come somewhere out this way, and, you know, it'll come this far west.
Fairmount, early 2000s, cutting over to Alligator Alley, because I had a site over at Marco Island area. And, you know, then they were just starting to really develop over there. And by the time I gave that site off, I'm like, oh, thank God I don't have to go here anymore. This traffic's a nightmare.
Oh, and it didn't take that long. Because I, you know, as I said, I remember when that area was almost still swamped. And within, I would say, in less than 20 years, it...
Heading on traffic, KJ4CTD. Mobile for about another 5 minutes.
Get back to, I got a bunch of computer equipment I bought at auction some time ago, and it's still not ready to be resold. So, I mean, these machines aren't going to fix themselves. I don't know if anyone wants computers anymore. I mean, there's no real profit left in them. Laptop computers might, or notebook computers maybe, but desktops nobody wants. But I do have a couple of nice things. I've got one gigantic printer that's probably worth a lot of money. It's like the, you know, the big color workgroup printer. You know, I'll get rid of all this. It just takes time.
Small stuff now. I've been looking for a fanless i5 machine because it's going to be in a semi-embedded situation and don't want any moving parts. But, you know, supply chains are just real slow, even coming out of Intel. And everything's gotten more expensive.
Well, plus, you know, you sort of have almost an implied trade war with China as far as semiconductor parts. Oh, we should bring semiconductor production back to the United States. Yeah, you should if you can. And the U.S. actually does do most of the high-value semiconductor production. Do we really want the lower-value stuff? But... Yeah, the supply chain, you know, I don't know, problems with the Chinese market, whatever it is that's going on now.
The nail on the head for why we don't have any manufacturing in this country to speak of for semiconductors or anything else is that, you know, we have environmental laws, we have labor laws, we have all sorts of laws and regulations, and heck, you know, that Biden was talking about bringing solar panels and wind turbine production here, bringing all of it here. I mean, we do have a GE turbine plant here, but you can't do that. You can't even mine the products. They've been trying to get that lithium mine up at Black Mountain to be expanded so it can produce more lithium, and apparently they've been running into environmental issues. KJ4, CTT Mobile.
Or is it easier, as I suggested, just to let Asia handle the low-value stuff? The U.S. still does manufacture the bulk of the high-value semiconductor products. You know, things like microprocessors that I can sell for a couple hundred dollars each. You know, semiconductor memory, you know, other low-value, you know, memory chips, other low-value devices. You know, who really cares? I think the U.S. gave up that market years ago because there wasn't enough profit in it. So I think it's just more a question of, you know, Adam Smith's theory of comparative advantage. Certain parts of the world might have an inherent advantage in making a certain thing because they can do it better or faster or cheaper, whereas they're not good at other things because they may not have the expertise or the equipment or the, you know, the level of quality. So I figured it was more of that.
Continuing this conversation, but I just pulled into my parking spot, so let me get out of here, and I'll be mobile again here in probably about 10 minutes. KJ4CTD, 73 zone error.
Yeah, I gotta get back to whatever I was doing, but good talking to you. 73s, KD2EG.